Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Sunday morning message at Bayleaf Baptist Church. Bayleaf Baptist Church is under the leadership of Pastor Marty Jackman. Our Sunday morning services meet at 8:30, 9:45, and 11 o'clock a.m. Join us now as we dive into God's Word.
You know, we're back in the book of Philemon. If you want to turn there today, it's one of Paul's letters. 2 weeks ago, I said as we looked at the first seven verses, you know, find the Gospels and go. Then you'll go through Acts and through Romans, and you'll get to Paul's T letters, I call them, the 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus. And then next, it's one chapter long, is the book of Philemon. And the book of Philemon deals with the subject of forgiveness. We introduced this 2 weeks ago, where Philemon is a church leader that actually has a body of believers, a church meeting in his home. Well, he has a slave named Onesimus, and Onesimus ran away, stole money from Philemon. He runs away. He goes away to Rome. And in God's providence, he meets the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul leads him to faith in Christ. God radically does a work in Onesimus' life. He goes from being a runaway crook to being a redeemed child of God. And Paul knows he's got to contact Philemon. And he's asking him, would you forgive this brother? Because now he's more. Yes, he is a slave, and he's a runaway slave, and there's going to be consequences, but he's a brother in Christ, and God's done a work in his life, and he's useful to me. I'd love to keep him here. I wish he could be with me here in Rome because of how useful he is for the gospel, but I'm going to send him back to you. I'm going to send him back to you because he's useful to you as well. And we're going to look at this. You know, the first seven verses, it's kind of Philemon's heart. It's, you know, Paul says these things about Philemon, and he says, you know, I know I can ask you to forgive Onesimus because I see the love of Christ in your heart. And today's going to, what does he ask Onesimus to do? We're going to be challenged in forgiveness. I will tell you, forgiveness is one of the hardest things we do as human beings. Now, some of you, getting on a plane and going to Africa, that's not hard. Forgiving the person that wronged you, sometimes it's 30 years ago, is much harder than going somewhere and telling somebody about Jesus. So we're challenged in it. You know, Matt Chandler wrote something this week. He said, man, we all love Pauline theology, but we're afraid to experience Pauline pain. Sometimes when we forgive people, it comes with pain. So we're going to be challenged in this, but really at the end of the message, here's what I hope we answer. Who is the hero of the book of Philemon? You know, why? J. Vernon McGee in his commentary said, I think Paul would be surprised this letter's in the canon. You know, it's not like Titus, where he sets some church order, or Timothy, where he corrects some things and warns some things. This is a very personal letter from the Apostle Paul to Philemon. Is not sending it really to the church saying, hold him accountable for this. It's to Philemon saying, I want you to forgive. You need to forgive this brother. But Philemon is not the hero of this book. Onesimus, the runaway slave, is definitely not the hero of this book. The Apostle Paul is not the hero of this book. I tell you why it's in the canon is because Jesus is the hero of this book. And what we're going to find out is exactly what Paul asked Philemon to do in restoring Onesimus is exactly, if you're a child of God, is exactly what Christ Jesus has done for you as he has gone to the Father in your stead and restored you into his family. So we're going to look at really why is this in the book. I've entitled this message, What Would Jesus Do? It's really, what did Jesus do? What has he already done so that we could experience his forgiveness? And looking at what he asked Philemon to do. I'm going to start in verse 8. It says, "For this reason, although I have great boldness in Christ to command you to do what is right, I appeal to you instead on the basis of love." Let me stop right there for just a second. What's Paul saying here? Paul is saying here, you know, I have a boldness where, you know, I will hold up the word of God. I hold up the teachings of Christ. And I will say on the authority of Christ's word, you better forgive. You need to forgive according to this word, where it says that unless you're willing to forgive, how's God going to forgive you? But he says, you know what? I want to appeal to you out of love. Let me give you an example of how we do that. Now, how many of you, I've been talking since January about who's your one. Who's that person God's put in your life that you have a unique opportunity to share him with? Now, so, you know, my one has been coming to the 9:45 service. So now who's next? You know, who else can I continue to pour into? So I could say to you, now, do we believe in our heart God's told us as believers to take his gospel into our community and around the world? Do you believe that? Shake your head north and south if you do. Okay. All right, you believe that. So I could say to you, Bayleaf Baptist Church, on the authority of God's inerrant word, you need to go out and share the gospel. And I do that. I have the boldness to do that. I've known you long enough. I on the authority of the word of God, go preach the gospel. Here's what I know. If you'll fall more in love with Jesus and be passionate about his work in your life, I won't have to tell you to go tell people about Jesus. I won't be able to keep your mouth shut. You'll just tell people, if you fall passionately in love with Christ, you will have a desire to share him. So what's he saying? I could, on the authority of the word of God, command you and say it's God's command that you forgive. But he says, you know, I want to appeal to you out of the love in your heart. I don't want it to be I don't want you to be begrudging about this. No, out of the love in your heart, I want you to forgive. He says, verse 9, I appeal to you instead on the basis of love. I, Paul, as an elderly man and now as a prisoner of Christ Jesus, he's in a Roman jail, appeal to you for my son, Onesimus. I became his father while I was in chains. Now, what? He didn't adopt him per se, like we do adoption. No, it's Paul met him and became his spiritual father. He led him to faith in Christ. And now Onesimus is changed. It says, I became his father while I was in chains. Once he was useless to you, but now he's as useful both to you and to me. I'm sending him back to you. I'm sending my very own heart. I wanted to keep him with me so that my imprisonment for the gospel, he might serve me in your place. See the sacrifice here? Paul said, oh, I'd love to have him here. But he says, I know, I send him back to you. He says, verse 14, but I didn't want to do anything without your consent so that your good deed might not be out of obligation, but out of your own free will. For perhaps this is why he was separated from you for a brief time, so that you might get him back permanently, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a dearly beloved brother. He is especially so to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would me. And if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. Let's look at really three things that Paul asked Philemon to do in receiving Onesimus back. We're going to work through these quickly, and then we're going to come to why is Christ the hero of the book of Philemon. First of all, Paul asked Philemon to accept Onesimus into his house. He asked him to accept him into his house. You know, it would have been easy for Paul, and perhaps this is what Paul wanted to do. Perhaps he wanted to send a letter saying, hey, you know, this guy stole from you and he ran away from you, but I have led him to faith in Christ. He's doing a great work with me here, so would you forgive him and let us go on our way? See, that perhaps would have been easier. But he says, I don't want your good deed to be out of compulsion. I want it to be out of your own free will. So he says, I'm sending him back to you. He says, I'm sending him back to you because now he will be useful. It says in verse 11, once he was useless to you. Can't you imagine if he was a person who would steal and a person who would run away? He was probably kind of useless. He was probably someone you had to watch constantly to make sure he wasn't taking from you. But now the gospel has changed him. And he says, now you should welcome him into your home, but not only as a possession, but you need to welcome him into your home as part of the body of Christ that meets in your home. Now, here's what's hard. Onesimus has committed two capital offenses. According to the law of that day, in the fact that he had stolen from his master, that was punishable by death. But he also ran away, which was punishable by not only death, but also a torturous death. So he's saying, although he's committed these two capital offenses, the gospel of Christ has changed him, and I'm asking you to receive him back into your family, back into your home. That's why I say forgiveness is not easy. And forgiveness is not allowing someone to continue to abuse us and hurt us. But sometimes we have to step out in faith and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ can change a person. So he's saying to him here, he's useful for you. I am sending him back to you. I'm sending my very own heart. I wanted to keep him so that my imprisonment for the gospel, he might serve me in your place. But I didn't want to do anything without your consent. So he says, welcome him back. Don't just forgive him and send him away, but welcome him back. I tell you what we learn about forgiveness. Forgiveness is more than a feeling. I said that this morning in my study, and then I got the old Boston song stuck in my head for about 30 minutes. And so it finally left. But forgiveness is more than a feeling. Forgiveness requires an action. So often it's an action which we have to spend time before the Lord, asking him for the strength or for the strength to go to someone and ask their forgiveness. But then it is living out that forgiveness. See, that was the hard part here. He wasn't just saying, hey, forgive him and let me keep him. He was saying, forgive him and welcome him back. And he knows that starts with a heart of love. That can't be out of compulsion. It must come from a heart of love. I tell you, for me, And boy, I can be quick to hold things against people. I can be quick to have bitterness in my heart at times. So I tell you what I have to do. For me, forgiveness begins in prayer. And for a long time, it's been that way. But what I've noticed in forgiveness for me is my prayer used to always be focused on the person I was upset with. You know, God, you know, help me to forgive them. God, give me the strength. You know, God, wipe them off the face. No, never mind. That was pre-conversion, I guess. But but here's what I've learned. You know what my prayer's got to start with? It's got to start with me. I'm the biggest obstacle to forgiveness. And it's, God, do a work in my life so that I'll have the strength to forgive them, that I'll have the heart to forgive them. God, let me see what you've done for me so that I will have that heart of forgiveness. You want to read 2 Corinthians chapter 2. It's about those who have wronged you. See why? I think this is so hard in the church. And that's why I see forgiveness sometimes lived out more difficultly in the life of the New Testament church than I see it anywhere else in the world. And I've been called to come to other churches and help them walk through periods of trials and periods of problems and or counsel with them. And here's what I figured out is the reason it's harder in church is because I think we believe in our lives we're going to get hurt in the world, right? It's a fallen world. There's problems in the world, and we're going to get hurt as believers in the world. But we don't often expect to get hurt inside the body. And what we've got to remind ourselves is, you know what? Every one of us that comes in here today, we are sinners saved by God's grace. You know, I've heard it so many times. Where do you go to church? I don't go to church. It's just full of snakes and hypocrites. And, well, slither on in with the rest of us. You know, we're just, you're right. But, yeah, we're saved by God's grace. We're saved by God's grace. And you know, and we've got to have that heart of forgiveness, that heart of Christ that says, Father, forgive them. And I believe so often that begins in our lives. So he says, receive him, even though it's going to be difficult, receive him into your home. Go read 2 Corinthians chapter 2, where he talks about forgiveness in the church. He says, not only forgive one another, but comfort one another in that forgiveness, because he knows it's not easy. He says, accept Onesimus into your house. But then secondly, Paul asked Philemon to appoint Onesimus into service. It goes further. It's not just receive him into your house. He goes further to say, now he was once useless to you, but he puts it in your house. But then he also says to the Lord, he says, he has done a great work with me for the kingdom of God. I would like to keep him here. However, I am sending him back to you. Receive him just as you would receive me, because he is useful to you in your house, in serving you, but now he's useful to you for the gospel. The only way this happens is because the gospel changes men. And I thank God for that. The gospel changes men and women. And when it comes to God's kingdom, we all at one point were useless to the kingdom of God. But God changes our life. He saves us. And now every one of us who are believers, God has a task for you to serve him in his body. So he says, welcome him into your home, but then use him. Now, you may be thinking, so Pastor, are we just supposed to forgive and forget? You know, somebody does something wrong. Are we just supposed to forget? You know, we forgive them, but do we forget about what happened? No. See, I think that's impossible. I don't think we can forget what happens. Matter of fact, I've had people say before in the context where it says what Christ does with our sin, and they'll say it this way. God takes our sin, he throws it as far as the east of the west, and he forgets it. Now, Chad, we understand. That's a theological quandary. Because how can an omniscient, omnipotent God forget? And remember, that's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says he casts our sin away and he remembers it no more. See, that's different from forgetting. What it says is through the blood of Christ, he no longer holds our sin against us. It's no longer on the ledger of a debt we could not pay. He remembers that debt no more because of the blood of Christ. It's not that he forgets it, because every time that Christ sees the nail prints on his hand, he's reminded of the sin in our lives, the sin that had to be paid. So he doesn't forget that. So we don't forget what is happening. And forgiveness, again, doesn't mean that we just continue to be run over and abused. But we need to remember that God has a task for us. See, for some of you, you doubt that because of your past. You think, well, you know, because of my past, I know God's forgiven me when it comes to salvation, but I really don't think he could use me anymore. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. As a matter of fact, one of the reasons I know the Word of God is true is because if I would have written it, why would I have put in there that the man after God's own heart was an adulterer and a murderer? Why would I have put in there that the one that said of those born of a woman, there's been none greater than John the Baptist, said at the end of his life, he asked Jesus, are you really the Messiah? See, it's the fact that God takes the messes that is human life and makes tremendous messages out of them is one of the reasons I believe the Word of God is absolutely true. And he can do that in your life and the person who's offended you. That's why Jesus said to Peter after he denied him. He doesn't say to him there on the coastline at the end of John, he doesn't say, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He doesn't say, well, I'm going to appoint a board of elders and they're going to oversee you for 5 years and see if you've really repented and restored. He says, you know, but again, God knew his heart. I think there's got to be repentance. There's got to be a period of restoration. But God knew his heart. And God said, do you love me? He said, you know, I love you. He said, feed my sheep. He appointed him and he continued to use him even though he had denied him. So see, don't let that bitterness and don't let that anger control you from the standpoint of how you forgive others, but also don't let it control you in how you think, well, God can't use me because of my past, because he can. He not only redeems, he restores. So he says to Philemon, welcome him into your home. He says to him, appoint him for service. Then he says, Philemon, apply any debt that he has to my account. See, it says in verse 18, and if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. See, what Paul understood, even though there was forgiveness, there were still consequences. You know, sometimes we work with people who have been, you know, in trouble with the law. And they come to faith in Christ. But we teach them there are still consequences. You know, even though you embrace Christ, it doesn't wipe away the record that's there. There still may be consequences to our sin, even though Christ has forgiven us. So Paul's not saying to Philemon, listen, I know he stole money from you. I think here he gives him, if he owes you anything, he certainly gives the opportunity for grace here. But he says, if he has wronged you or if he owes you, see, he can't pay that back. He's not earned the money to pay back that debt. However, you receive him like you would receive me, and when I see you, I will pay the debt that he cannot pay. I understand. I'm not asking you to forgive the debt, but I will pay the debt. You know, I think I was 10 years old. I'd gotten to a point, and if you're 10 years old, don't do this, okay? I felt like I'd gotten where I could talk to my mom the way I wanted to talk to her. I didn't try that with my dad. You know, but I would fuss at mom. I'd yell at mom, you know, why are you doing? Yeah. And one day I did that. She told me to do something. I think I screamed back, I don't want to do that. You know, so I turned the corner. Here's what I didn't realize. I didn't realize that my father had come home. And he is 5'7" of Italian. Okay, so from one inch to the top of his head. So he looks at me and he says, go to your room. And he walks in, and I'm sitting on the bed, and he sits down beside me. He asked me two questions. His first question, and then I knew it was serious. He said, why do you dare think you can talk to my wife that way? boy, he said, you're not going to talk to my wife that way. I'm not going to let any man talk to my wife that way. And he said, why do you think you can talk to your mom that way? And he said, let me remind you what your mother does for you every day so that you can have the life you have. And boy, just the brokenness came over me. I began to weep. I cried. I said, Dad, will you forgive me? He said, of course, son, I forgive you. He said, but you need to go ask your mom to forgive you. And I went in there, and she was on, and I said, I'm sorry. I said, Mom, will you please forgive me? And she hugged me, and she said, of course, son, I forgive you. And we just kind of, all the three of us kind of sat there and cried, and it was like a Hallmark card, you know. It was just beautiful. And then Dad looks at me, and he says, now go back to your room. And he came in, he wore my tail out, you know, and it's like, what happened to the forgiveness? It was like, it could have been on the Lifetime channel 5 minutes ago, and now I'm getting a spanking. And here's what I learned. Even with forgiveness, there's consequences. And I had to pay a consequence for my actions, even with forgiveness. Now, let me just say this. Why is Jesus the hero of Philemon? So I want you to think about your life. I've imagined it, and again, work with me here. It's just my sanctified imagination. I don't know that this is what happened, but in my imagination, I've always felt like it's like Jesus standing before the Father. And Jesus saying, Father, I want you to welcome Marty into our family. And then I want us to appoint him for service. You know, I want to use him as a Sunday school teacher. I want to use him as a deacon. I want to use him as a Gideon. And Father, we're going to use him as a college pastor. We're going to use him as a senior pastor, a preaching pastor. And the Father says to the Son, but he's a sinner. He's a vile sinner. And he has sinned before a holy God. And the Son says, I know. And he can't pay that debt. But on the cross, I paid that debt for him. That's the story of Philemon. He said, receive him into your home, appoint him to service, and I'll pay the debt he can't pay. That's what Christ did for you. It's exactly what he did for you. And that's why forgiveness in your life is important. That's why it isn't something we just brush aside. Because when we seek forgiveness and when we give forgiveness, we are living out what Christ has already done in our lives as believers. And that's why it's important in the body of Christ. That's why we can't push it aside. That's why Jesus is the hero of the story. That's why I believe it's in the canon. It's because it is the gospel according to Philemon. Because it's what Christ has done for us. Let's pray together.
Thank you for listening. We hope your heart was blessed and encouraged by today's message. For more information on the ministries at Bayleaf Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.bayleaf.org or give us a call, 919-847-4477. Thanks again and have a blessed day.